Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Modern Sign Books on Blog Talk Radio. If you're interested in what makes your favorite author tick, you'll love hearing what they have to say in our live interviews. Learn how they got started writing, the books and authors that inspired them, what they have in their personal libraries, and much more. Meet today's hottest authors as they discuss their life and writing in revealing conversations with our book specialist, Tim Crook. And find us at modernsignbooks.blogspot.com. Now sit back and enjoy a few minutes with Modern Signed Books. Here's Tim.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another exciting edition of Modern Signed Books. I'm your host, Tim Crook, and joining us today is Russell Ilg. He is a collector who has deep insights into book collecting as well as the book collecting world. And he is 66 years old. He has, for the past 40 years, been a master plumber and pipe fitter. But he started collecting books in high school. And it was really after meeting Dan Brown that he became involved in the book world. Welcome to the show, Russell. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you.
Excellent. Well, what was the first book that you read in high school that really sparked this desire to begin collecting?
I'd probably have to say The Lord of the Rings.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, excellent. It was one of my favorites of all time.
Very cool. And I guess maybe where I'd like to start is why books? I mean, is it, you know, not stamps, or do you collect other things too?
No, I basically stick to my books and a few minor other things, but it's mostly books, and it's my love of reading more than anything else. Something that I've always had since I was very little. Just the love of a novel and being taken to another place and from whatever time that might be. And that's where my love came from. And it just kept expanding through the years. To more books and more authors, and to the point now where I probably read at least 3 to 4 books a week. And and I have probably close to 4,000 signed first editions right now.
Wow, that's an amazing collection. What genre do you focus on, or is it a set of genres? I mean, is it kind of the fantasy books, the Lord of the Rings style, or thrillers? What is it that you enjoy most, maybe?
The genre I'm most involved in now is suspense, thriller, mystery. I do love an occasional political novel or a sports novel that has to do with my area and my local teams. But for the most part, 99% of the collection is mystery, suspense, and thrillers.
Very cool. Now, when you say you read 3 to 4 books a week, is that books that you've already collected, or from authors you've already collected, or are you seeing, you know, new authors that you might want to collect? How is it you choose those books?
Now, these are It's a combination of both. The majority is authors that I know already, somebody recommends a new book, or I'll see a different book out there and read the jacket, and it perks my interest, and I'll give it a read, if it's good, I'll start following the gentleman or lady, whoever it may be, and start reading some of their earlier works, and continue to follow them on from there.
Hmm. And do you have a lot of friends who do collecting also? You guys have a book club that you do? I mean, how do you get those recommendations?
No, I don't have a book club, but I have a lot of friends in the business that I've become very friendly with, they recommend a lot to me, and I also recommend a lot to them, and it's worked out well on both sides of the equation.
Interesting. You know, John over at VJ Books, who's a mutual friend of ours,
yes,
he told me that you've turned him on to a lot of new authors. Are you reading a lot of self-published works? Is that how you're finding some of those newer authors, maybe that aren't so mainstream?
Excuse me. Yes, I do that. It's become a whole new world with the advent of the digital reading and publishing, and there are more authors out there now than ever before, and there's some very very talented people there, and I scroll through websites and different authors and whatnot, and pick what I think I might like, and try and give them a fair shot. I have to admit, there's quite a few that aren't that great. It takes a lot to be a published author, you know, and. Mm-hmm. As the industry has shown, you know, they're only publishing in hard copy the best of the best, and
yeah.
so you have to be a million-dollar man to be a published author today, and the digital world is not where my interest really leads, because my collection, I have to have the book. You know, I want that book mm-hmm. in my hand. I love the smell of the book, the smell of the paper, the feel of the book. It's just all part of the experience. And the other part, the other end of that, is there's continual talk about the book world disappearing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there not being any more hard-covered books. I don't believe that'll ever happen, and most of the people I know are of the same mindset that'll never happen. But my collection is basically the reason I've kept it as it is I'm hoping for it to go to my grandchildren.
Mm.
So even if there is a big change to digital or whatever, they'll have a chance to have their hands on some very good books.
So do you ever read through an e-reader, or is it strictly bound books?
No, I do use an e-reader. Mostly when I'm away from home. It's much easier than carrying six hardbacks with me.
Yeah.
So it's it definitely has its advantages, and mainstream authors are on ebooks as much as anybody else, as the as newcomers or anything else. So you can get whatever you want in an e-reader as you can in a hardcover. It's not the physical book itself.
So what I'd like to do is I'd like to talk a little bit, as someone as yourself is so experienced in the art of collecting, maybe some ideas and tips for those who are younger or just beginning their collecting process. Is there a method that you use to keep track of your collection?
I use a spreadsheet on the computer to track my category my complete collection, and it's the easiest way to do it. And I believe anybody that's serious in doing it, they should start right away so that it doesn't get too far ahead of them, and then they have a mess on their hands with a few hundred books to try to list.
So do you also in that spreadsheet include things like the grading, other attributes of those books?
I try to include everything, whether they're first editions, whether they're signed, what the condition of the book is itself, whether it's new, unread condition. I try to include all the information and try to give it a ballpark figure of what it's worth at the specific time that I'm doing it.
Oh, so do you include a valuation with everything as well, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's just a personal thing myself. Some of them might just be the price of the book itself at that time, or there's other ones that come out that are instant hits, like the Da Vinci Code, where I got started with signed books, really.
Yeah.
Dan Brown was one of the most incredible people I ever met in my life.
What was it about Dan that impressed you so much?
It was the way he came across and the way he talked about books, and how he talked about the Da Vinci Code in particular. But I think what really grabbed me was the story he told of the first book he ever wrote, The Digital Fortress. And it was it's an amazing story, and it's not that long. I'll give you a synopsis of what it was. He was a teacher at Exeter Phillips Academy in New Hampshire, one of the elite schools in the country, a high school prep school type thing. And this was at the advent of the web just becoming alive and on, and people becoming involved in it and using the web and email and things like this. And there was a student at his school who wasn't from this country. He was from Germany, and he wrote home to some friends back home that he'd loved to kill the president. just a off-the-wall remark from a high school kid to some friends back home. About 2 weeks later, the FBI showed up on the school grounds and arrested and removed the kid from the school. And everybody at the school was mystified, and Dan looked into it, and he was able to find a former NSA agent who would speak to him. And at that point in time, nobody even knew what the NSA was or that it existed. And this gentleman told him that the NSA monitors everything on the web, and that there are keywords that are picked up and looked at and followed, and that's what led him to this student. And the and like he told Dan that you'd be amazed at what the NSA will pull out, will do in a year's time. You don't hear of the 16 attempted hijackings on airlines, or the 15 assassination attempts that were made. These are all things that go on behind the scenes that people don't realize, and that's what the NSA does. So it sort of bothered Dan that there was an agency out there looking between the lines and almost taking people's rights away. But the guy from the NSA remarked all that to Dan was, it's not a black and white world, it's a gray world that we live in.
Sure.
And that's what got Dan to write Digital Fortress and the books that followed, the Da Vinci Code being the most prolific of all of them.
Yeah. So is it, obviously meeting him had a big impact on you. When you look at what you have collected now over the past number of years, how is it that you have decided what goes in your collection? As somebody, you know, imagine that you're giving advice to a new collector. How should they choose what goes into that collection? And is it simply, you know, signed first editions? Is it U.S. editions? I mean, what should they be looking for to put in that collection?
First and foremost, you should collect what you like. You know, you should collect the people. First off, you have to have a love for reading. And then secondly, you collect the people that you read. And then if you are truly going to collect books, then that is the criteria. You do need to collect the first edition, first printing, and the condition is paramount. There could be a book that in mint condition is worth $1,000, and beat up and water stained and stuff like that makes it worthless. So there are a lot of guides out there on collecting and how to do it and what to look for. The hardest part for me when I started was figuring out what was a true first. And there are many different ways for publishers to indicate that in their books. It's become more streamlined as the same for everybody. now, but there are still some that are a little different. And if you're going to collect, you're going to want to go back and collect the back issues of the people that you read. My thing is, the people I read, I enjoy every one of the people that I read, and I want all their books. I want a complete set. So it's taken me time to go back and get the back issues, because some of them get pretty pricey. But the whole thing is collecting somebody that you like, and then making sure of the edition that you have and the condition of the book.
So do you use something like McBride's pocketbook for identification?
Yes, I've used a couple different things of ways of identifying earlier books, yes. You can't know it all.
Sure. Are there specific sources then that you go to purchase? Are you looking at just, warehouses that you can get a first edition and then you work to go get it signed? Or do you prefer going to somebody who already has a signed copy and purchasing it from them?
Depends on who the author is. Over the years, I've become very familiar and friends with a large number of the the top authors in the mystery thriller gene, and I'm able to get books signed just about any time I want from them. More of a favor than anything else. They know that I sell their books as much as I collect them. I use what I sell to support my habit of buying new books. But when I, it's usually the older stuff that I look for through other dealers and people I know that carry those.
Okay.
And and there's a lot of new, even some of the new stuff that I, for some reason, I can't get my hand on. I'll go to John. I'll go to a bookstore that's having a signing with that person and get the book there.
Sure. So do you sometimes also go to, shows, something like Thriller Fest or something else?
I've attended every Thriller Fest in New York City except one. I've been to 9 of them. And there's usually somewhere between 200 and 250 authors at that event, which covers a 4 to 5 day range.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I've become so close with so many of them. Authors are an incredibly different sort of people. You find out that they lead a solitude life. And when you really think about it, they sit in a room probably 7 or 8 months out of a year by themselves. And for them to get out in the public and meet their fans and readers is ecstatic for most of them. They absolutely love that interaction and love talking. They'll spend as much time as you want with them. They'll talk about anything that you'd like to talk about in reference to their work, how they got to where they are, what the next book is going to be. So authors are the most approachable people that you could ever find. It's not like an athlete or a film star or somebody like that, that the chances of walking up and saying hi to them are never going to happen. You could do that to any author in the world, and they'd appreciate it.
So, speaking of relationships with authors, I understand that you have been included in several books and killed in many of them.
Yes, I have.
Tell me about how that happens.
It happened, the first one was by an author named Blake Crouch, who, in fact, just had a series turned into a TV movie over the past summer. And Blake is a incredible author as far as I'm concerned. I've loved everything he's written.
And
his first
stuff. The Pine series, Wayward Pines on TV.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And his first two books were a series in themselves. And the reason I even knew about him was that an author I've been reading for 20 or 30 years gave him a shout-out in his newsletter, which is very unusual because he never promotes other authors. And
who's that?
David Morrell.
Oh, okay.
And for David to do that was amazing. And so I went and I found the two books, and I read both books in one night, and I was completely blown away. And
was that Desert
John.
Places?
Excuse me?
Was that Desert
yes,
Places?
Yes. Locked Doors and Desert Places. And you need to be strong of heart to read Blake's early stuff. but the same could be said for Stephen King back in the day. But anyway, after I finished them, I immediately called John, and I said, John, you have to read these books. And same thing with John. He sat down and read them in a matter of hours each, and the next day he was out looking for every copy he could find that were first editions, and found everyone that was left, he found, and completely sold them out within a couple of days, which absolutely made Blake ecstatic, that we were able to do that, and that's his Christmas present to me was putting me in his book and killing
really?
Me. Yeah.
So kind of as we wrap up here, we've just got a couple of minutes left. What would be the biggest piece of advice that you have for a new collector?
My biggest piece of advice would be to start small. Don't look to be spending the $50 to $100 for books that you think might be worth more down the line. Start with the people that you read. Start with the ones that are coming out now, because they're a lot easier to be to get signed from the multiple signings they do around the country, and work from there. Start small and work your way up, and learn as you go. Read read about collecting. John has a wonderful part of his site that talks exclusively about collecting books, and it's a wonderful place to start. But they need to know what they're doing and what they're looking for, and they should start where they feel the most comfortable, and that's the people with who they read already.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Russ. I really appreciate it, and I definitely look forward to seeing if we can get you back again later in the future. I think that you and I could just talk for hours about this. Honor of your interview today, VJ Books is going to be donating 5 copies of the Blake Crouch novella serial. What they've told me is that if you just contact customer service at VJ Books and mention today's show, that's the first 5 people that do that will get a copy of that. This has been Tim Crook with Modern Signed Books. Thank you so much for listening to us today, and I hope you enjoy your week. Next week, we're going to be doing an interview with John Land, and I hope you tune in for that.
You've been listening to Modern Sign Books on Blog Talk Radio with book specialist Tim Crook. Be sure to check us out at modernsignedbooks.blogspot.com.